much. So good to be here. I couldn't bring my CEO all the way here, but we have him on video. If you'd like to bring up his initial video, I'd appreciate that.
Greetings, everyone, and Happy New Year. In 2023, you made a big impact. Lives were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit with His Word. Last year, nearly 2.9 million people were reached with God's Word, and over 2,600 churches were planted. To put that in perspective, that's over 7,800 people reached with Bibles and Bible studies, and 7 new churches planted every day. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your support, for your prayers, for the hours you serve, and your advocacy for sharing this mission with others. Your support is bringing people out of darkness and into the marvelous light of God's kingdom. And it's not just me who is thankful. People around the world have a message to you.
Thank you, Bible.
Salamat po.
Dhanyawad.
Muito obrigado.
Sota pesake.
Dhanyawad.
Sikomo kwambiri.
Muito obrigado.
Daghang salamat po.
Khakun khap.
Dhanyawad.
Khakun khap.
Muito obrigado. Maraming salamat po. Muito obrigado.
Good. It is my privilege on behalf of nearly 3 million people last year to say thank you. You have reached so many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and given them the Word of God so that they can hear the Word of God in their own language in a way that they can understand. This church, you, have been providing Bibles and Bible studies so that they understand what they're reading. You've provided them to churches, in schools, and in prisons. You have provided for those who are unable to read, both Bible-based literacy so that they can learn how to read, and audio Bibles so that they can immediately hear the Word of God in a way that they can understand it. And you've provided church planter training so that in places where there is no church for people to go to, there are people who are trained and equipped to start churches and Bible studies in those places. And in some languages where they don't have a great translation where they can read and understand it, you've provided Bible translation so that people can understand the Word of God. One of my colleagues, Kareem, he recently said, "The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible." So what you have done as part of Bible League is so much more than just distribution, so much more than handing out Bibles, but also helping people to engage in that scripture, to open up that Bible and understand it so that you can understand both what it's saying as well as the author of the book. To come to know the Holy Spirit and come to know the Lord. Thank you for doing that. So let's share in God's word together. I'm going to read from Isaiah 42 today. This is Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. And I'm going to use the New International Version. This is written for a time where the people of Israel had just gone into exile. They're very discouraged because they know that their own sin has cut off their relationship with God and they've lost the promised land that was so important to them, as well as God's mission for them, which was to be a light to all the nations. And this scripture talks to those concerns. This is Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. Here it says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth, and in his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth and all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the peoples and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So this nation would have received this message with incredible joy. Imagine how sad they were to be separated from their land, to worry about the judgment of God. And he says, although they have failed, there is someone who will not fail. There is going to be a faithful servant who will follow God's plan. That's what it talks about in the first couple of verses. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I put my spirit on him and he will bring justice. This person is so much more than just a prophet or just a king. It's Jesus. Jesus is the faithful one. Of course, as Christians, we all do what we can. We do our best to honor God and live holy lives. But it's Jesus who does it without veil. Jesus is the one who lived that perfect life. And he's the one who's ultimately the servant of God. He is the one who the Father delights in. He is the one who walks in the power of the Spirit, as you see, even from his baptism through this time in the wilderness. And he is the one who brings justice, not just by doing what is right, but bringing us back into relationship with God through his sacrifice for us on the cross. He is the one that we need. And he's the one that salvation is all about. Whenever we do ministry, of course, we use the Bible, but we use the Bible so that people can know Jesus. There are so many people in this world who feel so disqualified still, who feel like they've failed in so many ways and that they're cut off from the love of God. But it's Jesus that we need. And it's Jesus that you proclaim as a church and as one who supports the ministry that's happening as a part of Bible League. And you see the kind of people that Jesus does this ministry to. It's a really fascinating illustration. It starts in verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Now, a reed you can use for a lot of things. You could build boats with it. You could use it to build papyrus, the books that they would use. But a broken reed is not good for very much. It's already not able to be used for the purpose that you would use for it otherwise. But it says when he comes by and he sees a reed that's already bent, that's really not doing what it's supposed to do, he doesn't come over and say, that's no good, and snap it and does away with it. He holds on to that bruised reed. And a smoldering wick, in other words, something that has been on fire and has been used as fuel, but it's almost lost the ability to support that fuel and the fire is not strong. He doesn't look at something that's smoldering and say, it's no good anymore, and he gets rid of it. Instead, he sees something that still has life in it and he breathes back life into it so that it can still be useful for the purpose that it's been created. We can feel like bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. Whenever we've tried in life and it hasn't turned out the way that we wanted to, we can feel like a bruised reed. And we can wonder, am I still of use to the Lord? We can feel like a smoldering wick where we had passion and we had love and time passed and we wonder, are we there anymore? But when Jesus sees us who are bruised reeds and smoldering wicks, he doesn't see people that he's given up on. He sees people that he's ready to breathe life back into us. He is not done with us. Jerome, one of the very first Bible translators, said, Christ did not snuff out the smoldering wick, reducing it to ashes. Instead, he ignited a great flame from this little spark. a spark that had almost gone out. The result is that the whole earth was ablaze with the fire of our Lord and Savior. God is bringing life upon the earth. He's doing it right here in Rhode Island. He's doing it all around the world through your ministry. Thank you for that. And he is not going to give up. It says in verse 4, he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. See, when we see the sinful world, it's so easy for us to get discouraged. You might try to talk to your neighbor about the Lord, and they're not very receptive, and you can feel discouraged. You can talk to your kids, and it doesn't turn out the way that you wanted to, and it's easy to be discouraged. But we see from this verse that God is not going to give up. He will not falter or be discouraged. So when we run into these disappointments in life, when we have hard times, God is not giving up. He is the one who's giving us life. And even when we struggle, he is not done yet. God is not done with our lives. When you see something that is burdening your heart and the lost that are around you and you want to see God work in their lives, God is not done yet. He is still working and bringing life. He is not discouraged. He is not going to give up. He is still there. It says in that verse also, verse 4, in his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is good because, hey, we're on an island. We're in Rhode Island, right? In the islands, he's going to bring hope. He's bringing hope for Rhode Island, isn't he? He's bringing hope for us right here. And of course, when they read this, they were in exile. And so when they're thinking of islands, they're thinking of places that are far off. They have not heard of his goodness yet. And still, we can also find hope those in places like Indonesia or Hong Kong, places that are far off. God is at work there. He is bringing hope to the entire world. God comes to save us. And that salvation is so much larger than we would have imagined at first, because the whole world belongs to God. We see this in verse 5. This is what the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, and who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. You see, God is the God of the whole world. There aren't just Christian places and non-Christian places. There are a whole world that belongs to God. He created the whole world. He created all people. And so he cares about the whole world. And everybody, everywhere, are people that God wants to come to know him. His plan of salvation is for everyone. It's his world. Jesus is Lord of the USA. And he's Lord of Peru. He's Lord of Iran. He is Lord of South Korea and North Korea. He is Lord of Hong Kong and China. He is Lord of the whole world. He is the God of the whole world because he created the world, and it is created for him. And so it says that he is the covenant. Jesus is the one that we can put our hope in. He says in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I'll keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, first of all, he's speaking of Jesus here. Our covenant with the people is with Jesus. It's his blood that we have access to the Father. And we have the ability for forgiveness of our sins. And he is the one who's the original light to the Gentiles. As it talks about in John, that he came into the world as light. And of course, as Christians, we follow in his stead. Of course, we don't create a new covenant, but we point everyone to the covenant in Jesus. That he is the way for salvation, that he is the hope of the world, that we find all purpose and meaning in life and peace through Jesus. And he is the light. And so we want to be a light to those around us. We want to be a light to the sinful world, because God is bringing glory to himself. Now, we see all the people that he reaches out to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Now, when Isaiah wrote this and they read this originally, they would have probably thought, well, if you're spiritually blind, then he'll give you sight because you were confused and then you understand. And the people were in exile, so they saw themselves in a bit of a prison in a dungeon away from their lands. But of course, when Jesus came, he over-delivered. Have you heard that phrase from sales? Under promise, over-deliver? Well, the promise is really good. I thought it was a huge promise, but even that, Jesus over-delivers. Because when he gives sight to the blind, of course people have better understanding, but people who were blind really could see again. It's amazing. And people who were trapped in sin really found freedom in him. That is amazing. And that is the work that the Lord is still doing today. When he looks around, he doesn't see people that are hopeless. If you're blind, he sees this is somebody he can give light sight to. Somebody in prison is not beyond hope, but they can still find salvation in him. Jesus came for the lost, and so are we. We are here for the lost. Because God is going to bring glory to himself. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring up, I announce them to you. No, despite how things used to be, God is doing new things because he has a stake in it. He's not going to give his glory to an idol. The glory already belongs to him. So God has made up his mind to be on the move. And we're just joining him in what he already wants to do. We are coming in along this so that God will bring glory to himself. And he has a plan for all those who have a former story of sin so that they can have a new story of walking with him. Whether that may have been a former story of addiction and a new story of freedom and hope, or a former story of darkness and gloom and a new story of hope in him. It could have been that they had been involved in different places in the world than other religions, Islam or Hinduism. But God's plan for them is not to stay in that, but to find hope in him and to live a life as a Christian, to know him and to know the peace and the joy that only comes from Jesus. That is their new story. There is light for those who are in darkness. There are so many stories how God has done this in this world. I'm going to be able to share a few of those with you. The first one is going to be in this video coming from Nepal about how Jesus is bringing light into this nation that does not have a large Christian population yet. Thank you.
Yesule phiri tiniharle bhanubhayo, ma sansarko jyoti hu. मलाई पछ्याउने अन्धकारमा हिँडुल गर्ने छैन तर त्यसले जीवनको ज्योति पाउनेछ
Suri Tong is a Christian in Nepal. He and his family were some of the first Christians in his community of Naudanda. Because he doesn't have a means of transportation, every day, Suri Tong walks 5 miles to the cardamom fields, taking care of more than 5,000 plants to support his family. Then, he walks more. Along his journey to and from the cardamom fields, Suri Tong goes house to house to share the light of the gospel. He visits fellow church members and curious Hindus, Bible in hand, ready to talk about his savior and disciple new believers. In Nepal, only 2% of the population follows Jesus. Suri Tong is a light in his community, but this wasn't always the case. Before Suri Tong followed Christ, he was an animist.
प्राकृतिक पूजक परिवारमा जन्मेको हुँ मैले परमेश्वरले नखोजे पनि
परमेश्वरले मलाई सपनाद्वारा बोलाउनु भयो र एकजना प्रचारकको प्रचारले र मेरो साथीको सँगैले मैले विश्वास गरेको छु। पूर्व नेपालको पास्टरले मलाई काठमाडौँमा तालिम पढाउनु भयो, तालिम पश्चात कास्की नौडाँडामा मलाई पढाउनु भयो र यो आउँदाखेरि कोही पनि चर्च थिएन। बाइबलको चर्च प्लान्टिङ तालिमले मलाई बाइबल अध्ययन गर्न र सुसमाचार गर्न ठुलो टेवा पुऱ्याएको छ। बाइबल अध्ययनले मेरो विश्वास बढाएको छ र अहिले केही मेरो मण्डलीको झुन्डामा सेवा गरिरहेको छु।
One of his Bible study groups meets on the roof of the church building. The 11 young people are between the ages of 14 and 22. They meet regularly for Bible study. There, they deal with the big questions of life and look for answers in Scripture. Everyone has an inner drive to read God's Word together and talk about it, and they're looking forward to owning their own copy of the Bible.
म बाइबल अध्ययनमा यसुलाई कसरी पछ्याउने भन्ने बारेमा सिक्न आएको हुँ।
म बाइबल अध्ययनमा मुक्ति र शान्तिको बारेमा सिक्न आएको हुँ।
म बाइबल अध्ययनमा कसरी परमेश्वरसँग नजिक हुन सकिन्छ भन्ने बारेमा सिक्न आएको हुँ।
The following Saturday, Suritong brings a box with the precious Bibles to his church's weekly service. Saturdays are a day off work in Nepal and the day on which Christians gather for worship. Today, the community in Naudanda celebrates communion. Silas, the Bible League regional director, reads the words of instruction from 1 Corinthians. While Suritong distributes the bread and wine, the believers are moved by the fact that Jesus has freed them from their sin. And then, the new believers come forward to receive their own Bible. Suritong and his church family are thrilled to receive their Bibles because this truly is a gift. They can't afford them on their own. It's the same for so many around the globe. People want to know more about Christ, but they don't have a Bible. You can change that today. You can send a copy of God's Word to a person eager to read it.
यो समूहसँग बाइबल अध्ययन गर्न पाउँदा धेरै खुसी छु। त्योभन्दा पनि अझ धेरै खुसी छ तपाईहरुले बाइबल उपलब्ध गरेर सहायता गर्नुभएको लागि तपाईँले धेरै धेरै धन्यवाद छ। अझ आउँदो दिनमा नयाँ समूहहरूको हातमा बाइबल प्रेरिन अनुरोध गर्न चाहन्छु र परमेश्वरले तपाईँहरूलाई प्रशस्त आशिष दिएको होस्। आमेन।
Do you see how the Lord is at work in every part of the globe? God is bringing light. He is doing it through you in places even like Nepal, bringing people to know him through dreams, through the witness of the bold church around them, standing for him, and you providing the training and the Bibles that they need to do ministry. It's amazing. Thank you so much on behalf of Suritong for those Bibles and for the training that they needed. I'm going to share a few more stories. If you have one of these papers that the ushers gave out, we're going to walk through it briefly. The first, yes, that's right, thank you. This is Mashbishi Prison in Zambia. It's a maximum security facility in Africa. And this is what Yost is talking about on the very first inside page. In seizing the moment. He talked about that prison where people have gone because they've committed terrible crimes, but God is at work releasing the prisoner by giving them hope. It says, even when society seems to have forgotten about the inmates at Zambia's Mashbishi Maximum Correctional Facility, your kind support has rekindled their lost hope. More than 200 inmates there have completed Bible League's prison Bible study program. Praise the Lord that each of them received a Bible for the first time. Sydney, one of the inmates, serving a lengthy sentence, said, thank you so much for the Bibles and the Bible study booklets. You have left the 99 sheep and come to save one lost sheep here in prison. Now Sydney and the other inmates who completed their Bible studies want to share the good news with the other 800 inmates inside their prison walls. Thank you, Living Hope. You're reaching a prison in Zambia through your generosity. Just a note on that picture, the people that are in the graduation gowns, those are the ones who've been trained to lead Bible studies. These are our current prisoners, inmates, that are leading the Bible study with their fellow inmates in the prison. And the guy in the orange is another one of the prisoners who's leading them in worship right now as they're doing this, as they're singing praises to the Lord and rejoicing in his forgiveness and his freedom. Thank you, Living Hope. The next one, free from shame, set free from shame. Her name is Rejoice. Isn't that beautiful? She's in Zambia with her audio Bible. And if you ever picture somebody who might feel like a bruised reed, Rejoice is one. It says at the beginning of that page 3, can you imagine not being able to read to your children or grandchildren? Can you imagine not being able to read the Bible? You would perhaps feel a lot like Rejoice did, discouraged, incomplete, ashamed. She grew up as the middle child of 9 in Kadoma, Zimbabwe. Her parents struggled as farmers to make ends meet, and as a result, Rejoice and her 4 younger siblings didn't get a chance to attend school. And the now 45-year-old mother of 4 only went to school for about 2 years before she dropped out. But you have provided the Bible for Rejoice in the audio Bible that she's holding. That's a solar-powered packet, so you don't need to plug it in anything. And it has both the Bible and Bible studies on it so that she can hear the Word of God and come to understand what it says. So at the bottom of that page, through the training, Rejoice received an audio Bible. She beams. The gift of the audio Bible has removed the shame I always felt when I couldn't read. Living Hope, thank you. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus, for being loved to rejoice in a way that meant so much to her, to remove her shame. The next story is Agnes in India. Sometimes when we think of all the lost in the world, we think, how in the world are we going to reach people so far away in villages in India? Well, through people like Agnes. He is somebody that you have trained through your generosity on how to provide, to start a new church, and to provide all the materials that he needed to. So he says in this passage, one of his goals is to share the gospel with those who have never heard it. And today, about a quarter of Agnes's 80-person village attends his church. A tiny remote village in India has the gospel because of your generosity. Living Hope, thank you for giving Bibles and training to Agnes so that he can share the gospel with those who have never heard it before. I want to say thank you on behalf of William. 62 miles. So he's in Kenya. He is a member of the Maasai tribe, and he's planting a church among the Maasai. He lives in one village, and he walks over 30 miles one way to where he's starting a church in another village with the Maasai. He's there for Sunday. He has to leave at 4:30 in the morning to get there by 10. Talk about getting up early on Sunday. Man, that is rough. He walks over there. He says, my only means of transportation are my legs and feet. So he gets there. He leads services that day. And afterwards, he has to walk back home. So luckily, God has started a church. And he's moving in wonderful ways. So the midweek service, they have local leaders who lead that Bible study. I think that's good leadership, don't you? You have provided the Bible for him so that the Messiah can turn from animism, the worship of spirits, to the worship of our Lord and Savior. And just look at how hard, like, his passion is, how much he wants people all over to hear the gospel, that he would walk 62 miles in a day. How little it is for us to donate the equivalent of $5 for a Bible. But you, through your generosity, are providing him everything he needs to start this church in this place that they would never hear the gospel otherwise. Thank you for sharing Bibles with William in Kenya. And thank you also for being this orphan's hope, Vimbanashi in Zimbabwe. That's her with her grandmother, who is also using an audio Bible. Zimbanashi has a small family of three. It's her little sister, and her grandma. Her parents have passed away in an untimely way. And so she grew up similar to her Joyce with a lot of shame. She called herself a loner even in school, that she just didn't connect with others. But when somebody was trained and you provided materials for them, they were able to reach out to her and her family. They started going to church, and she found joy there. You provided age-appropriate things for children to be able to understand the Bible. And Vimbanashi is one of the people who is using those. She found joy in the house of the Lord. She found a sense of belonging with the people of God and our hope in our Savior. And now this orphan belongs to the family of God. Thank you, Living Hope, for being that orphan's hope, so that people all over the world can see the light of Christ, can have his word and read it and find their joy in him. Thank you. And so please, I'll ask a couple things of you. Just to honor these believers. You see how hard they work so they can have the word of God? Let's take it seriously too. Our Bibles. I counted them. My family has 15 of them. We have a whole shelf of them between the five of us. It's worth picking it up every day and reading it. There's believers in other places in the world that want it so badly and can't. Let's honor their sacrifice by taking it seriously and reading our Bibles every day so that we can know the author of the Bible ourselves. There's people that it's dangerous for them to share their faith in places where they live, places like Nepal, where there is persecution. So since we have the freedoms that we do here in America, let's share our faith with the people that we love, that we want to care about, that we want to spend eternity with. Let us share our faith with those so that they can have hope too. Let's follow in Jesus' footsteps. Let's see the bruised reeds and the smoldering wicks around us, so that we can point them to our hope in Jesus. And if you'd like to see some of this ministry for yourself, we have an opportunity, one last invitation. There, thank you. There is a vision trip going to Kenya and Zimbabwe next year. If you like to travel and you're courageous and you'd like to see some of this happening yourself, this is an open door and you have an ability to go there and to be an encouragement to the believers that are experiencing this ministry. No pressure, but if you like to travel, if you'd like to have a taste of missions, this is a really wonderful way to see what God is doing and what your generosity is doing as you promote the gospel. Thank you. So I'll say a prayer of blessing to you, and then I'll scoot over to the door so that I'll be able to talk to you guys before you leave. So when I run away from down the pulpit, I'm just going to catch you before you leave. Then please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for being a light. Lord, thank you that you do not give up on us, but that your grace is sufficient. Lord, you see our every need and you meet it. You are the one who has provided that covenant that we need. so that we can have access to you. And Lord, we ask that you continue to fill us with your love and with your hope. May your Holy Spirit work in us so that we can be effective right here at home and around the world for your gospel. We pray blessings on people like Rejoice and Vimbanashi. We pray blessings over the prisoners in Weshbishi prison. And we pray that your Holy Spirit continues to bring revival in places like Nepal, and that you use your servants like Sir Tong to share your word all over the place. God, thank you for loving the whole world, for creating us, for setting us up to know you. And Lord, we just pray for more. More, Lord, bring more. And Lord, we pray blessings on Living Hope. Thank you for every believer here. Thank you for their belief in your scripture, that they stand by your word and they stand on your truth. And Lord, we pray blessings in their life, blessings of provision, blessings of good health, blessings of prosperity, blessings of direction in their life, and that you would be with them as they share the gospel with others. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you are dismissed, church.